Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, hello and welcome to episode number 146 of the Self-Help Podcast. Stop typing, Sean. What are you writing? More stuff?
I'm being creative.
You're emailing, aren't you?
No.
Oh, no, he's actually... No, fair enough. are you doing? You okay?
I'm good.
That was me being assertive.
Yeah, if really asserted upon. Is that a word?
Yeah, well, overly assertive, though. I didn't go into the realm of aggression or...
I don't know, I felt really intimidated.
I'm sorry. I won't do it, it won't happen again. Yeah, we're talking about assertion this week, folks. We've had an email from a listener or a fan of the website saying they were struggling with that a little bit, so duty bound, here we are to help out.
Yeah.
Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Go there right now and read Sean's blog post about this, the same topic.
Which would be stunning.
Yeah, lots of links and show notes that we're about to mention and that will be worth checking out as well. And yeah, lots of other goodies as well. How you doing?
I'm good. I am good.
Anything going on in the world of Sean?
I am dangerously near to having the studio room upstairs plastered.
Plastered. Come on, you're up north now.
They're plastered.
Well, in the northeast, they say plastered, you know.
Do they? Well, I didn't realise they spoke the Queen's English up there.
Proper Geordie says plastered.
All right, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, because my dad says that, and I'm like, Dad, what are you saying? Plastered's plastered.
Do they say path and bath?
No.
See, how can you have a path and a bath and be plastered? I don't get that.
That's funny, isn't it? Language, funny thing. Apples and pears. Anyway, yeah. Oh, right, the loft, sorry.
Yeah.
The conversion.
Yeah, I've got Marky the plasterer coming around tomorrow to weigh it all up, to decide how we're going to finish it.
Cool.
So it's plastering the walls, it's a coat of paint, and then floor covering, and then it's looking dangerously like it'll be champagne and open for business.
Wow, are you going to have the... I think we should get the Queen up to...
I think we should.
You're going to have a little plaque on the wall.
Yeah, a plaque.
A plaque.
A plaque.
Do you say plaque? Southerners?
Yeah, plaque.
Yeah.
You know when you have the stuff around your teeth, that's plaque as well.
Plaque.
What do you have? Plaque.
You go to the park.
Park. Yes.
Pack. Yeah. Anyway. All right. So that's cool. Yeah. Well, spring's kind of... Well, I was going to say it's a bit gloomy out there today, but the last couple of days have been gorgeous.
It's been lovely.
It?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because when people come in here, where I see people. When the sun's shining, they've got a kind of a bounce in their step. I can watch them coming up the path, and they're very, very different.
Yeah.
It's funny. They're just a bit of sunshine. It's like, woo!
What a difference it makes, eh?
Yeah, it's good. It's lovely.
Cool, so I'm enjoying that, though. I'm not being able to enjoy it too much because I'm weighed down by emails and all that stuff, but hey-ho.
That sounds like negative rehearsal here.
Do you think?
You're not weighed down by emails. It's like, thank the universe with an attitude of gratitude that you've got so many lovely people sending you emails that you need to respond to.
I know. You're right. You're exactly right, as ever. Hey, well, see, you've got cookies in here now as well.
Would you like one?
Have they got the sugar tax? Have they been added on?
Yeah, no, we've got to get rid of those before the sugar tax starts.
Interesting. All right, let's crack on with the show. Yeah, we had an email from a listener or a reader, Guy, who said one particular thing he was struggling with was self-assertion or being assertive, which is, yeah, it's a big one, you think about it, for a lot of folks.
I deal with loads and loads and loads of people where the issue is about, it might be couched in terms of lack of confidence or... Mm. I've got a difficult communication issue. I need to, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, it could be that it's a marital issue, but so often it comes down to, do I as an individual have the right to own the space I stand up in and actually be able to assert my presence in front of other people?
Yeah.
You know, or am I diminished by other people?
Well, self-assertion, according to Google... or whenever that, not sure what their source is. It's the confident and forceful expression or promotion of oneself, one's views, or one's desires. And yeah, right, some people just are naturally more timid, shy, and some people are kind of out there and
If people get sent to me in occupational health for assertiveness training, it's either because they're being aggressive and they need to learn to be assertive and not aggressive, or they're a victim who needs to assert their needs as an individual.
Okay.
Yeah. So it can be either way that we need to become assertive. Either we're over the top or we're...
Well, yeah, okay. So when I was starting to do some Googling for ideas for the show, the first thing I typed was how to be more assertive, but that got then instantly got me thinking, is that the goal, to be more assertive, or is there too much assertion in the world? And
but it depends on what you mean by assertion, because I think we confuse assertion with aggression.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay.
To be assertive isn't... the essence of being assertive is that you take into account other people's needs as well. Yeah, to assert your point of view is to assert your point of view or your needs in context. Yeah, if I step over that line of context, then I start to become aggressive.
Right.
And if I step under the line, I start to be submissive, as opposed to being clear. And I think that that is the key. Most people aren't clear about who they are, what they are, or what they want. And if you're going to go into any communication or any negotiation, whether it's an emotional negotiation, even a sexual negotiation, or whether it is a business negotiation, workplace stuff, you need to know what it is that you want out of the communication. Most people will barge into communications because the blood's up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're either aggressive or timidly trying to get their point of view over. Yeah, but they're not clear about what they want. What's the outcome?
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a tick list about what you want out of the communication, your chances are that you're going to be able to assert yourself to tick your list.
Right.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But you've got to know what you want.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay, no, it's interesting. So once you've got this power of assertion, which can be taught and can be learnt,
yep.
You then have this, well, with great power comes great responsibility, hey? You don't have to use it all the time, depending on the situation.
Think about big countries around the world that have kind of bossed everybody else about. You know, when the Romans took over places, they would go in once and be aggressive. And then once they'd been aggressive and people knew what the aggression was, they could just be assertive, as in, we're here, and people would back away.
Okay.
Don't mean. So it's like the issues of assertion and aggression are very closely linked, and being able to see the shades between them.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm watching a lot of stuff related to the American primaries at the moment. Obviously, Trump and Clinton and Sanders and all those crazy guys. And obviously Trump's getting all the headlines because he's off his head and just says crazy things. But it's quite interesting, really.
It's his hair.
Yeah, and his hair and his face and his everything he does.
Arms, his leg.
But he's psychologically, I think he's quite an interesting character. And I think people are... there's a lot of studying being done into how he's generated this profile and how he's kind of still managing to beat everyone in the polls, even though he's saying some crazy things that if any regular politician said, they'd be long gone. He's been judged on in different terms because he's not a politician. He's this kind of celebrity almost. But he's a chameleon because I think at the moment he's being really assertive to the point of aggression.
Oh, I know, I see him as aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a really interesting thing someone had put up where they were showing what Hitler said and what Trump said and comparing the two. If you watch Hitler at the Nuremberg rallies, you'd have to even understand the German. But if you just look at what he's doing, it's total aggression and he's whipping up people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that aggression in that sense feeds into a part of the human personality which isn't too healthy.
Yeah, well, he's feeding that in at the rallies he goes to, you know, and speaks that he's encouraging his supporters to, you know, if somebody's going to throw a tomato at me, you punch him in the mouth. And he's encouraging his supporters to kind of, you know, act violently towards protesters, which is crazy. But it's...
I throw a tomato at him and it'd be in a tin.
It's working, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I bet you what, once he gets the nomination, which he probably will for the Republican Party, I bet he'll And once he's up against what looks like Hillary Clinton, once they go head-to-head, I bet he changes his rhetoric completely and turns into a much more kind of centrist-ish. He won't be all this kind of... He won't be quite as crazy. I bet he changes his tack. Because he's got all of a sudden he'll have to win the popular vote, won't he?
When he's doing, someone does what he's doing at the moment, they're playing to the lowest common denominator. Yeah. You know, it's that base instinct.
Yeah, the language he uses is, someone's actually said it's the language of like a sub 11-year-old. It'll be, but it's deliberate, you know.
Playground. Yeah.
It's so, completely deliberate. It's fascinating. Yeah. But he's
my gang, your gang. Let's go and beat him up.
Yeah. Exactly. He's an arsehole, but it's amazing what he's doing.
Yeah. But how many people do you get like that in the workplace who are managers?
I don't work in the workplace.
There are plenty of managers who are in that mould, who need to be more awake and aware of what they're doing. And the thing is that people like him get a short-term gain.
Yeah.
Has a fairly immediate effect that everybody can see, and like, wow, that's amazing. But it breaks down over time.
How come some people just seem to be naturally more assertive, or is it something... Will it be an event that something's happened in the childhood that triggered
it? I think we're back to nature-nurture stuff. You know, there's going to be maybe a genetic predisposition towards certain behaviours, but the individual, depending on what's happened to them as a child... And sometimes if someone's treated badly, they've had to learn to be aggressive to assert their need.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could equally be that if someone has been brought up like they're the lord of the manor, and they're always used to getting what they want, and everyone else is peasants, then they can develop aggression that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's your trajectory? Have you always been quite assertive, or what were you like as a kid?
As a very young kid, I was submissive and bullied a lot. When I went to secondary school, the first day in school, I thought, I'm not going to be bullied anymore. And someone tried to pinch my cap, and I hit them so hard over the head with my briefcase. They had to have stitches in their head.
Oof.
And he was a big kid.
Briefcase?
Yeah, briefcase. Had a briefcase. Yeah, with the metal corners. I caught him a good one on the head. And he had to have stitches in the head, and I got the cane. Mm. First day I was at school.
Welcome.
I had the cane in those. Best thing I ever did. No one ever touched me after that. And then I developed more kind of aggression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was on the shirt tails of this success of being this seen as like a hard guy, this little hard guy who'd come into school.
You like that monkey in 2001 A Space Odyssey, you know, when he first realises that he can use this bone to whack another monkey over the head, and he's got this power all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Ooh, 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 and he chucks it into the air.
Yeah.
The greatest shot in cinema history when it changes to the...
Yeah,
the bone changes to the spaceship.
Yeah, but that's right. That's right. And one of the problems is, and I acknowledge that, is it does feed into that base part of yourself. If you can get what you want by being aggressive or scaring other people, then it's kind of an easy way to live. You know, I guess that's what protection rackets are about and stuff like that. But how does the individual stand up to the aggression? Because that's the assertion bit. How do we assert ourselves against someone who's aggressive or a bully or whatever?
Uh-huh.
So have you ever been in that position?
Not for a while. Yeah, as a kid I was quite submissive, I guess, with the word. Quite shy, timid. I wasn't ever really bullied, though. I think some other bigger kids... I was tiny, you know, as a kid. Still am. But I wasn't bullied, but yeah, no, I guess some kids try to take advantage of my good nature because I was happy, friendly, smiley, Eddie Lamb. And I do remember kind of noticing as I got kind of towards secondary school-ish, I started to become a bit more assertive. I can't remember why, but I think probably the biggest change in me is probably since I went self-employed, actually, interestingly, that I've had to learn all these mad new skills, you know, sales skills, really, and just kind of communication-wise, because, you know, I go networking and I have to shake hands with people I've never met and convince them to use me for certain projects, jobs and things they need. And
so you're asserting your ability to do something?
Yeah.
You're asserting your skills?
Yeah, but I don't wade in and say, oh, amazing, I'm obviously, you know, you must use me, you will use me, I'm the greatest designer in the world.
But if aggression... the equivalent of that would be arrogance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, to be assertive isn't being arrogant or aggressive.
Mm.
It's just being who you are. There's a kind of confidence in that.
Yeah. I guess I kind of downplay my skills a little bit now as well. Partly. So, yeah, I'm thinking about how I interact with potential new clients or whatever. I don't go bombastically saying I'm the greatest designer in the universe. I say, you know, I'm...
You just know that you are.
I know, I am. I'm above average. I will say I'm kind of above average. You know, I'm not the type of designer I won't spend, months and months on the shape of a letter or the space between two letters. You know, I'm a kind of get-it-done kind of guy. But, you know, it works.
Mm.
And that, yeah. So, yeah, selling my skills has been quite interesting in terms of assertion, I guess. Same for you, I'm assuming.
For me, the people that I have to be assertive with, sometimes clients do challenge you or are aggressive and you have to be assertive sometimes, but very often it's managers or managing directors. If I've got a manager who is a bully, I have gone into managers' offices and closed the door and said, I know what you're doing and you know that I know what you're doing, and if you don't stop doing it, I'm going to do something about it. And then I've said, and I'm going to pretend that we've never had this conversation, and I've left.
Mm.
Yeah. And I am serious about that, because if someone doesn't curb their behaviours, if they are particularly negative, I will do something about it.
I guess you're in a tricky spot, because, yeah, confidentiality-wise and stuff, people tell you all sorts. You can't. They might even tell you things that are that maybe illegal activity, which are you duty-bound to?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there are.
Dobermen, or what was
the... One of the weird things about the law in Britain is that legally, the only things that I am required to actually break confidentiality on legally are things like money laundering and terrorism. Yeah, it's quite a limited amount of stuff. Very often the organisations that you're in have more specific things about, kind of, if you're talking about abuse or harm or stuff like that, self-harm, harm to others. And obviously the professional bodies have codes of ethics that, you know, say what you should break confidentiality on. But my thing quite clearly is to say to people, you can tell me what you want, but if you carry on telling me what you're telling me, I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah.
You know, and usually people are quite open about what's going on. But there are things that are kind of inappropriate. I mean, one of the weird things for me is when I worked for a Japanese company, they were quite happy for anybody to be a cocaine addict as long as they were doing it at the weekend and not when they were in work. Couldn't understand why on earth a woman would need to come to see a therapist because her husband's having an affair, because, well, all men do that, don't they? What's the problem?
You know,
it was those kinds of issues, yeah, and different kinds of attitudes to, why would you need to be assertive about something like that? Because that's just kind of normal behaviour, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think that generally each of us need to stand up for ourselves, but we need to stand up for ourselves in context of knowing what we're standing up for. That's what I mean about people go into situations and they don't know what outcome they want.
Right.
And if you don't know what outcome you want, someone will bowl you a googly and you'll fall over. You need to be able to be clear about what you want, and then you've got a chance.
One of the links I'm going to put to is it's a free ebook by the looks of it, or it's just a web page, but I'm sure you can load it on anything you want, on Mood Juice website. And it's a self-help guide.
Which is an NHS one, isn't it?
To being assertive, Scott. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's Scott.
Yeah.
And what it lists kind of early on, one of the problems of lack of assertiveness. And one of them, the first one, is saying yes to requests for favours from friends and relatives, no matter how unfair they are. So, yeah, just saying yes or no to the wrong things all the time.
So, but that comes down to what is it, or how is it that you say no? Which was what we were talking about last time.
Last week. Well, we went off air and you were a bit like, oh, I'm not sure now, thinking on.
I was beginning to enjoy the word no by the time we'd finished. I was thinking, you know, maybe no is a much better word than I've given it space for. Because that idea about which part of no don't you understand is quite a good phrase.
And that well leads on beautifully to this week, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because being more assertive leads to saying no more often, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't it?
So what I was looking at things here. So the three techniques that I would work with clients with. Yeah. So the first one that most people know is broken record. Do you know broken record?
No, I've seen a broken record.
It comes from the idea that when you had a vinyl disc, when there was a scratch on it, it would keep repeating the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it very often in a situation where someone is trying to get you to do something and you make a very clear statement about that's not going to happen and the person just rides over that. So you say, you make the clear statement again, no, that's not going to happen. And then, you know, and you might have to say it 100 times before they actually get the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're solid in, no, that's not going to happen. You know, this that's it, yeah?
Uh-huh.
And so you repeat the same phrase, whatever the phrase is.
Yeah.
Yeah, driving bonkers.
I have that with my little freaks that scamper around my house, you know, and even Jacob now, he's what, nearly 1.5. He's starting to push the boundaries on a few little things, and yeah, there's different levels of no. And my assertion as a parent kind of is quite interesting, or anyone's as a parent, because, you know, I'll give it the gentle, don't do that, no, Jacob, no. And then if he keeps doing it, you know, I'll give it there, no! And that'll really, you know, that usually does the trick, and for William.
So it's the tone of voice.
Really snap the no. And William will usually go, don't shout! But it does the trick, you know.
Yeah.
You know, no. Yeah.
But the joke with my kids was always, we're going to do this. Do you want to do it the easy way or the hard way?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, that's your choice. You know, it's not yes or no. It's like, which way are we going to do it? Yeah.
Blimey, it's hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious. Okay.
Okay, fogging. Fogging is a technique where you kind of validate what the other person's saying so that you don't offend them. And then you go on to say what you want. So it could be that someone gives you a load of stuff. You know, maybe they're telling you what a pile of rubbish you are. And you might say, I really get what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I get where you're coming from. And then you say what you want. Yeah, so you validated what they've said so you don't offend them. And then you just override it with what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, which isn't like saying, no, you're wrong, shut up. Yeah, so various versions of that would be, wow, that's a really good point. And then you give your point of view.
Ah.
Yeah, or, wow, that's an amazing idea. And then you discount that and put your idea in.
Okay.
Yeah?
Cool.
So, and that's a way of disarming people.
Yeah.
And asserting what you want.
I guess I see that a lot, and I watch Question Time quite avidly. It's frustrating, but I watch it. And
You were on it.
I was on it, yeah. Blimey. A few years ago on the highlights. Yeah. I asked a question, the last question, yeah. Brilliant. but watching how politicians like deflect arguments, or, you know, they'll take some serious heat. Usually it's the Conservative MP that is on the show, because, you know, any government is just going to get flack from left, right and centre, because you can't please everyone, can you?
Mm.
These guys seem to be displeasing quite a few. But yeah, watching the skills, how to deflect some pretty nasty comment is quite interesting, really.
I don't know.
Without being assertive and appearing like to be a narsehole. being polite about saying you're wrong. It's a good skill, isn't it?
Did I use this example last week? I was in a meeting once where there was a director at board.
Once.
And anyone.
I had two yesterday.
Yeah. load of managers and the director at board. And one of the directors, who was a bit of a bumptious, arrogant twit, was deciding to have a go at occupational health. So he was being very rude about the department.
Uh-huh.
And he got into his stride and stood up. And he was really enjoying himself. And it started to change a bit. So it was starting to, let's have a pop at Sean. So it was starting to get a bit personalised. and the stuff he was talking was nonsense anyway. But the people around me were starting to get uncomfortable.
Oh.
So all I did was, when he took a breath, I just gave him the hand and said, and he stopped and looked at me, and I said, are you always as rude as this, or is it just especially for me? I said, in front of all these people. And the guy just went bright red and kind of dried up. He fizzled out.
Oh.
Yeah? And that kind of thing, I could have argued with all the things that he said, Yeah, but actually he was being an idiot, and people could see he was being an idiot, and all I was saying to him effectively was, are you always an idiot? Is that, you know, what are you doing? Yeah, and being able to say things like that and to not get your emotion involved in it.
Yeah.
To just be very clear, you know, not getting excited, energised or aggressive, but just being very, very clear. Are you always an arsehole? Or just...
Ladies and gentlemen, this man may look like an idiot. He may look talk like an idiot, but don't let that fool you.
He really is
an idiot.
Yeah.
Bit of Groucho for you there. Yeah, okay, cool.
Last one I've got on my list of things that you can use are the I statements. Where you're... Because the thing about being assertive is that you don't directly challenge people.
Right.
Yeah, if you start getting aggressive with them, they get aggressive with you, then it blows up. Yeah, that doesn't work. Whereas if you're being assertive, so someone might give a whole load of statements. You might say, well, the way I see it is, and then you give your point of view, and then the person comes back at you. And again, you might say, well, yeah, very interesting. But for me, it's like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and but the point is you're not giving ground. When you're assertive, I love it when the samurai fight. What a samurai does, if you watch them, as I do all the time. When they take to the battlefield, the first thing they do is they spread their arms really wide and turn round. And what they're doing in doing that is they're moving everybody out their way to give them the space to fight in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that by opening your arms suddenly and spinning around, everybody moves to get out of the way. Now you can draw your sword because you've got room to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And there's something about that and being assertive is you need to clear a bit of space out of the way to, that you come into it. If you argue with somebody, they'll draw their sword and fight you. Whereas if you can make a statement like we're talking about here, fogging, owning, broken record stuff, you're creating a space that gives you the opening to say something. So by saying, well, that's a really interesting point that you made just then, they stand back at that point. You've got a bit of space, right?
Yeah.
Now you say what you want.
Now you draw your sword.
Yeah. And then, that's a really interesting point you've made, but actually you're a total arsehole.
Actually, I'm going to chop your head off.
Yeah. That kind of thing. But to be assertive means, because we looked at the idea at the beginning about confidence, you being confident in yourself.
Yeah.
But the key for it again, a third time, I'll come back to it again, is before you go into communications and negotiations, you have to know what you want. That's when people get pushed around, because they don't know what they want.
You might not want to be in that place in the first place, in which case you need to, well, if you're in a, maybe you're in a job you're not enjoying, I'm assuming you need to engineer a way out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it may be that you're in a situation in a workplace where you feel like you've got to placate the people around you whilst you dig your tunnel to get out.
Okay.
And that actually may be a way of asserting yourself by patting them on the head and smiling again. Yeah, fine, okay. Whilst you're digging your tunnel to get out.
Yeah.
It's your form of assertion.
Like the Shawshank Redemption, where he's being nice to the warden all the time, but when he goes back to his cell each night, he's slowly digging a hole through his wall and plotting his escape.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I want to go watch that movie now. there's a couple of websites I'll link to which kind of have like five ways to be more assertive and all that stuff. Most of the stuff I think you've covered. Point three on this one on Psych Central is about letting go of guilt, which I think about my wonderful wife. She's always saying how she feels guilty about things. I'm guilty about this. And actually, she's not that... She's an incredible person, as you well know. She's not that assertive, actually, about asking for help or asking for things, which I'm really like... Like, if we want people to babysit our kids, as you are next in a couple of weeks.
I hope you're really guilty about
that. Yeah. Well, no, Bethan was like, oh, I don't know if we should ask. I don't know. I feel guilty. And I'm like, just ask. You know,
one of the things...
Real love it. Real love it.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I'll bring a bottle of wine. The thing that I see quite a lot is that guilt and religion go together.
I do mock her a little bit for that, actually. This is a bit cruel.
It is a reality because of the concepts of teaching, particularly Christian teaching. And when I've got, because around here we have a huge Irish influence, and we have a lot of Roman Catholicism.
St. Paddy's Day yesterday as well. Yeah. Actually, I was walking through town on my way back from the office, and there was a big kind of procession of
all in
drums
green,
and pipes and whistles. And,
yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
The amount of Roman Catholics who are having therapy, who all their conversations interspersed with phrases like, well, to be honest, and I must tell the truth. And it's that kind of, it's a guilt issue all the time.
Yeah.
Which is sad. I think it's quite damaging. Really. We don't need to feel guilty about being who we are.
Yeah, exactly. And it's assertion on the part of an organisation, isn't it? Or which people kind of bow down to a little bit, which, you know, served its purpose for a while. I don't know. Still does. Maybe not. It's not my bag.
If you go into the ideas of kind of spiritual, psychological, sociological development and evolution, the idea is supposed to be that the Piscean Age, which is just finished, is about gurus, teachers and avatars like Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, Jesus, Moses, and their books of words and rules. And the Aquarian Age, which we're supposed to be entering now, is about people learning to be self-reliant and to be self-starters and self-motivated rather than needing a guru to tell them what's right and wrong, to actually do it from the inside out rather than the outside in. Whether that's right and whether it's achieved, God alone knows.
Aha, yeah. Which one? Good question.
Yeah.
So, ditching the guilt, if possible. I guess, I can't remember which site I read it on. It's in one of the links I put on, but it talks about, you know, this path to self-assertion. Speaking to Guy now, I guess, directly. It's not an instantaneous thing. It's like climbing a mountain. You don't just head off to Everest, do you?
It's habit formation. Yeah. It's our 30 days, 60 days.
Yeah. So it's just initially, what are we talking? Just introducing little things to your language, maybe, in the way you speak to people?
Yeah. But go back to what I said in full time now, is that you've got to know what it is that you're going for. Doesn't matter whether that's in a negotiation with another person or whether it's you for you.
Yeah,
you've got to be clear about where you're going with it, because then you can assert your energy to get you to that point.
Yeah.
If you don't know where you're going, all you're going to do is get washed around in other people's emotions and egos. Whether that's an organisation, whether it's a relationship, or whether it's the negative voice inside your own head.
Sure.
Yeah, because sometimes the biggest oppressor is that monkey in your mind that says, can't do that. But you're a waste of space, aren't you? Yeah, rather than thinking, actually, no, I can do what I want, I can achieve what I want. And that's an internal battle of confidence and assertion.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, it's got me thinking that, really. It's quite an interesting episode. And, yeah, like, massively linked to last week's episode about saying no, or polite ways of saying no initially, isn't it? Because you'll get that little... I remember as a youngster, or even now, you know, you'll know when you've agreed to something that perhaps you shouldn't have, or you'll get a little tingle because you'll know you're kind of being taken advantage of slightly.
My worst experience is sitting with people who are dying or are approaching death, who are going through the regret issue of if only I had, or if only I hadn't.
Yeah.
And very often we're talking about the very things we've been looking at in the last two episodes. One is that people were unable to say no, or they were unable to assert their own needs.
Right.
So, and at the end of life, there's that sense of bereavement and loss because they didn't do that.
What a tragedy, eh?
Yeah, and I think for all of us, you know, anyone that's listening to this, whatever age you are, this is your opportunity to do a bit of an audit. And are you achieving what you want out of your life? And if you're not, what do you need to do to assert your needs so that your needs are met?
Beautiful.
Heavy stuff.
Woo. You got a resource of the week, Sean?
Well, I was looking around at what kinds of things can you use that can boost your confidence. And certainly things like kind of hypno recordings and meditations and stuff like that. So, I mean, all those classic meditation oasis stuff and things like that are good. But I was looking around on the App Store, and there are some confidence apps on the store, and one's actually called Confidence Booster, which looks like a lot of fun. It's $149 to buy, but it looks like it's the kind of thing that's going to give you the kick and make you ask yourself the questions. And
yeah, we didn't use that word confidence at all in the shows, actually, but yeah, that's kind of another word for assertion, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah. You can only assert yourself if you have a level of confidence, or you can only develop confidence if you allow yourself to assert yourself. It's like chicken and egg thing.
Yeah, there's issues of like self-love there as well, aren't there, right?
Yeah.
You can only be confident if you're confident that you're a decent person. You've got
and you're worth the skin you stand up in.
Mm. Cool. Alright, my resource as ever, not linked much, well, on the on the surface, it's a YouTube channel called Eater. It's basically like short 5 to 10 minute foodie type clips,
right.
I think mainly based in America, just going to cool restaurants, but I was initially captured by a little thumbnail of just like the most delicious looking pastry thing I'd ever seen in my life, and I just disappeared into this rabbit warren of awesome little movies. But it's quite interesting watching the people and the chefs they interview, and because there's that level of assertion, of confidence in what they're putting on a table for people to eat, and the joy that it creates.
I can remember seeing Pierre White.
You know, Marco, yeah.
Marco, that's right. And he, in his restaurant, some people complained about the food, so he threw them out of the restaurant. Didn't charge them, just said, get out of my restaurant. Wonderful.
Blimey. Yeah, the guts to do that, eh? Pippinac.
Yeah.
Cool. Next week, what are we talking about? Free will versus something?
Self-determinism and free will. Determinism and free will.
Right. We were meant to be interviewing Jeff this week on his website and his interests, but, well, it was my fault. I kind of had a diary issue, so we're going to get Jeff back on in a few weeks.
Yeah.
We need to sort diaries, actually. Reminder. Yeah. But yeah, next week, free will versus determinism.
Yep.
Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links we've just been discussing. Yeah, check out our Facebook page. Give us a like if you can. I think we're getting close to 1,000 likes on there, none of which we paid for. They're all actually genuine people. Yeah, can you believe
that? Is that assertion if you get people to, if you pay people to put?
Well, it depends. Yeah, I think it's just some guy in India just clicking like, so it doesn't really work.
Was that an Indian accent, that like
that? Yeah, I don't know if he says it as he's liking them. Like. Oh, I like. Yeah, have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you same time next week.
Yeah, that's good.
Cheers.
Yeah, you take care. Bye.